In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. On the church calendar, we have various great feast days through the year that mark an event in our Lord's life, one of his accomplishments, something that he did for our salvation ultimately. And these events, these great feasts of the church year, are intended to be a joyful celebration of our salvation. They're reminders of these things that Christ has done and how they pertain to our salvation. So, for example, we come to the Feast of Nativity and we celebrate Christ's birth. We come to the Feast of Theophany, we celebrate Christ's baptism. We come to Transfiguration and we celebrate that Christ was transfigured on the mountain. Certainly over the last 6 weeks, we have been rejoicing exceedingly over Christ's resurrection. Likewise, it is the case that we come to the Feast of the Ascension in celebration, rejoicing exceedingly. It is a festive event. It is a joyful event. And yet, it seems to me that we come to the Feast of Ascension and there's a certain sadness to it. Perhaps part of this goes back to the original context in which it took place. After all, the event is Christ's parting from the disciples, from earth to heaven. And there's a sense of that event of Christ leaving the disciples that has sadness that is laced with it. The disciples must have had a certain sorrow. They loved Christ, and he was leaving from their midst. Their departure from them, it was something that could cause sadness. And we too share in this sorrow, even in this time in our lives, in this season that we find ourselves, because the Feast of the Ascension for us marks the end of the festive Paschal season. And so rather than entering Ascension with joy, it's kind of lamenting the fact that Pascha, the Paschal celebration, is over. The Pascha decorations come down and all of the things that go with Pascha. But ultimately, for Christ's disciples, the Ascension was not a thing of sadness. It was not a thing that they ultimately sorrowed over, but it was a cause for celebration. The text from Luke, when they return, it says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy after Christ ascended, you see. There was a joy that filled their hearts after it was all said and done. They celebrated because they recognized that Christ had completed his work on earth, that Christ was returning to his Father in heaven, that Christ's ascension, it was a reminder of his victory overall, that Christ had accomplished our salvation. And Christ's ascension declares to us yet another dimension of the incarnation itself. As Christ was bodily resurrected, so it is we believe that his ascension was a bodily ascension. We believe that his incarnation begins at a point in time. But there is no end to his incarnation. He doesn't set aside his humanity as he ascends into heaven, but rather his humanity ascends into the heavens, and in his humanity he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And we proclaim these truths that Christ is our advocate before the Father, that Christ is our great high priest. And his ascension reminds to us a further element of this, that at the right hand of God the Father is our great high priest, our human advocate before the Father. And he reigns in the heavens, in his divinity and in his humanity both. Well, all of this gave the disciples a reason to celebrate and to rejoice. And likewise, these should be reasons for us to celebrate and rejoice. And there's more that we should consider and rejoice over this event. The ascension isn't a sad event. It's a necessary transition in our experience of salvation. Christ in his humanity was limited to space and time. And if you think about that in the context of the first century, and as Christ was working with the disciples, what would happen in the next phase if Christ remained bodily on earth? Think about it a different way and just consider this, to do the math, you know, in a sense. How often do we see our bishop come and visit us in the parish? It's not a weekly occurrence, is it? Because the bishop is responsible for multiple parishes, so he can be with us every week. So we see him once a year or every other year or something like that. He has Metropolitan Joseph has multiple parishes, and so it's his responsibility to be in various places. So if you take that and you, by extension, you consider, what if Christ remained on earth in his humanity? His human body was here on earth and remained without the ascension. How could Christ be the head of the church when he's limited by time and space? It's true that in his divinity he can be everywhere, but our limitation of humanity, our own humanity, we know that Christ being a human being, we would be limited by that. We would feel that when he's with those people over there, or that community, they're having special treatment or something. It would not work for him to be the head of the church and remain on earth. So Christ's bodily ascension into heaven, even though he can be with us in his divinity, here on earth, it was a necessary thing to remind us of this truth, that he can remain in our midst, thus in the midst of each of our hearts. He can remain in the midst of every community. He can remain with us always, even to the end of the age. And this is a cause for rejoicing. In baptism, we recognize that we are united to Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And Christ, through that experience, comes to dwell in our hearts. We are ultimately, in an intimate way, united to Christ. Christ is in us. And as the Apostle Paul says frequently in his epistles, we are in Christ. That is the union we share with Christ. So as Christ ascended, his human body is seated in the heavens. But at the same time, in his divinity, Christ is found now in the depths of our heart. So Christ continues to be with us, even though he's ascended, because he's always with us and will always remain with us. We may not hear his human voice as the disciples once did as he walked in their midst. But I believe if we can learn to quiet our hearts, we can still hear the still small voice of the Good Shepherd calling to us, speaking to us. We may not be able to reach out and touch his hand, as the Apostle Thomas did and put his finger in the nail prints in his hand. But if our heart remains open, we can still feel his hand guiding us, leading us through this life. We may be sad to see the Pascha season come to its end, but that sadness should not reign in our hearts, so it becomes a sorrow that rules over our hearts. Because Christ is always with us. And Christ has given us his peace, a peace that is unlike anything that the world has to offer. Christ has given us joy, joy that is unspeakable, the joy of heaven. Christ has poured out his divine love in our hearts. Yes, it's true, Christ in his humanity has ascended into the heavens. But his peace, his love, his joy has not ascended with him. It remains in our heart. Christ is in our hearts, and his love, his joy, his peace can be found in our hearts. And Christ our God has given us so much more, even more than this. He gives us his very life. You recognize on that night of Holy Thursday how he, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, how he took the cup and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. He instituted the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, and now that same Eucharistic gift is offered to us in every liturgy. Christ offers us his own body, his own blood, his very life to us. And we partake and we find healing. We partake and we find forgiveness. We partake and we find empowerment. We partake and we find grace. We partake and we find life. All of this is possible because Christ ascended into the heavens. As we hear Christ's words in the gospel text today, eternal life is this, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And indeed, Christ has led us into a knowledge of the one true God. He has revealed himself to us. He has bestowed eternal life upon us. He has bestowed upon us the kingdom of heaven. So the ascension is not a time for mourning, but it is a time for rejoicing. The ascension is not Christ parting from us, but rather coming to dwell in the depths of our hearts. Christ ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. It's important to note, once again, him being our high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Because the role of the high priest in the Old Testament, they never sat. When they were performing their duty as a high priest, they were always standing. The work was never done. It was constant. The Apostle Paul writes to us in the book of Hebrews and says, but Christ, our high priest, sat, which indicates that his work is complete and done. He entered into his Sabbath rest, and he has completed his work as high priest. And so in the heavens sits our advocate, our high priest, the incarnate Lord who intercedes on our behalf. So ascension is a day to rejoice, and it is yet another gift of grace to us. So let us rejoice in Christ's ascension. Let us look to the future glory of his return to earth one day. And let us receive this gift of grace. Christ has ascended and the plan of salvation is complete. Receive that gift. Walk in the path of salvation. Christ's body ascended into heaven, yet Christ ever dwells with us in our hearts. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will remain in our hearts even to the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.